I just wanted to say, Ananta is just doing an introduction of yourself for all the students to get to know you a bit and to understand in which way you can share something with them today. So we'll just quickly let him finish his introduction then, and then Marge, the floor is yours.
Oh, yes, I see Ananta. Thank you for seeing Ananta, the freshly married Jewel, wonderful. Yes, please continue what you were doing, and then I will join you.
Okay. So, you can see from the Marge is a brilliant smile. Marge has been practicing Bhakti Yoga for 50 years now. And what that means for us is that he has been not only practicing in his personal life with japa and kirtan and meditation, both in the world, but also regularly spending time in India, where he does retreats, holy retreats, with also kirtan and chanting. And over the years, all over the world, he's also starting kirtan festivals. A lot of the biggest kirtan festivals that we know of, your favorite recordings that you hear, are from festivals that are really inspired by Maharaj. And the devotees who put those festivals on are regularly in contact with him, trying to understand how to make a chanting experience, how to make an ideal chanting experience. And Maharaj has written several books also specifically about chanting. The book that he's working on now is about meditation. And so we are really, really fortunate as the kirtan person, as students who are trying to understand what kirtan is, to have the time from Maharaj, because he's dedicated literally decades to the art of chanting, how to chant, what is the proper mood, what kirtan means. For many of us, it's something that we enjoy, but Maharaj has really dived deep into it as a science and as a spiritual practice. So we are, again, super, super excited and super lucky to have him. And yeah, I'll turn it over to you, Maharaj, if you'd like to add more before you get started.
First of all, thank you very much, Ananta Gauranga, for your very kind and affectionate words. I can only say I'm a humble sweeper before the door of the palace of the holy name, and I knock to get entrance myself. But thank you for your kind words, and I want to greet you first of all and congratulate you personally for your auspicious marriage earlier this year. That is a cause of celebration. We only regret we couldn't be there in person, but we heard it was wonderful. And yes, and I want to also greet all of you who I'm seeing here on the Zoom. I'm excuse myself to not be there in presence, and we have to now communicate through this media, but this seems to be the most practical at the moment. I also see a few known faces there. I see Kamala and Tanya and yes, Haribol, and others look also familiar. Some other faces look familiar to me, so it's a great honor for me to be able to address you today on the subject matter of kirtan. Now, let me first of all, before I start, get this right. We have up till 12 o'clock. Is that true, Ananta Gauranga? This is the time which I have heard about?
Yes, so 12 o'clock. And whenever you would like to stop for questions, is up to you. But the whole session is until 12 o'clock.
Good. Thank you. That is And I do hope you are all comfortably situated so that it will be pleasant for you to hear. You have all joined the Kirtan course, and as Manu informed me, up till now you have done a lot of practice of the instruments to develop your skills and talents to present Kirtan on your own. This is very nice because this is a spiritual practice in which music plays a very important role, and that is to calm the mind, to bring the mind away from the 1,000 urgent and distracting things and focus it. So music, this is the yoga of music, so to say, if you wish. I've done a concert tour with the Kirtan artist Krishna Das. He sings with a very deep voice. Most probably you have heard him somewhere. And we gave this tour the name the Yoga of Music. And in this, with this tour, we went to the countries where they did not know Kirtan, and we saw in Croatia, in Bosnia, in Serbia, and Macedonia, how the public, the general public, who was not familiar with Kirtan artists before, took to the Kirtan with great exuberance. They were meditative moments, but also moments of dancing. And yes, the newspaper wrote about this tour as the most successful music tour of unplugged music. That was there. Kirtan does have a lot of appeal. It has come to the notice of people who are just thinking of self-improvement in various ways. The Kirtan has an amazing potency. There's a newspaper or a magazine called Psychology Today in America. It's a really prominent magazine, and it has whatever they say there is backed up by a lot of research, and you'll find the statement in this magazine. Kirtan, only if, how to say this in good English, even 12 minutes of Kirtan has an effect on the human mind that cannot be attained by 2 hours of meditation. Of course, everyone knows by now the benefits of meditation. It calms the mind, it frees it from anxieties and stress. So 12 minutes of Kirtan is so much more potent in doing this because it works in a shorter time. Modern man is becoming aware of the tremendous power that lies in group singing. Yes, in a way, group singing was embedded in our culture. Even my family, we would meet regularly at home. I would play violin and every one of us would sing songs. A practice that became especially emphasized in the Christmas days. We were singing so much. And in cultured German houses, they would have pianos, Klavier, they said to these instruments. And people would get together and sing. However, Kirtan is more than such group singing, which is known in our culture because of its connection with the Devavani, the Sanskrit language, and mantras in particularly. It can free the mind very quickly from unwanted occupation. Yeah. So Kirtan is becoming in, so to say. It becomes a fashion. But there is Kirtan and there is Kirtan. And sometimes they are very, very different and very different in their appeal. We just saw this in the Bhakti Bloom Festival. We had a festival here in our community where we invited the public and also various Kirtan artists, some leading yoga studios. There were psychologists who also sang Kirtan. And then we had invited also the devotees of Krishna who practice a devotional life and a life that influences the Kirtan in a different way. And there was a pronounced difference, a really very, very distinct and remarkable distance. And today, I would love to speak about Kirtan in that with that perspective. When does Kirtan become more than group singing? When does it become a spiritual experience for those who participate in it? I would like to entitle my lecture like this: when does Kirtan become Kirtan, so to say? First of all, this has been always my task, my duty during the Kirtan course in Radhadesh. I give the theoretical and historical background to Kirtan. First of all, we must know Kirtan is a really ancient practice. The first mention of it we find in the Upanishads. These are scriptures who are certainly older than 5,000 years. It's very difficult to exactly put a date on them. And there we find one particular enticing scene which I would like to share with you. Brahma is met by a great saint, Narada Muni. This Narada Muni is looking into the future and sees the upcoming Kali Yuga, the age in which we presently are. It's an age that is described to be not so spiritual. People are generally unfortunate. They are always occupied with so many anxieties in their minds and like this. No? And Narada Muni, out of compassion, asks, what could be the easiest spiritual process for the people who are born in such an unfortunate age to come to self and God realization? And so Brahma, the creator of the world, gives an answer which is very definite, very clear. And he seems he doesn't have to think about this question a long time. I mean, This is a profound question. What is the most effective spiritual process in this time, in the present age? So he says, let us just enjoy for a moment the ancient Sanskrit language. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti shodashakam nam nam kalikalmashanashanam nata parataropaya sarva vedeshu drishyate. O Narada Muni, the answer to your question is chant the sacred divine names, particularly as they are found in the Hare Krishna mantra. Then he gives the entire Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he says this collection of 16 names is the only destroyer of one's karma in Kali Yuga. By making a search in the entire Vedic literature, you will not find a remedy that is as effective. And then he says, what's the effectiveness? He says, see, by the chanting, two things are attained. Two effects are there. First of all, the coverings of the pure soul are removed, the illusory coverings. And the second is, inside the heart of the living entity, the Supreme Being becomes immediately manifested as if called for. Oops, my second pair of eyes fell down. My dear everyone, genuine spiritual life can be best compared with archaeology. In archaeology, you excavate what is already there. You do not produce your finding. You do not, first bring it under the earth and then place it there. I guess there are some cheating archaeologists who also do this, but that's not the idea. You only uncover the finding from its layers of earth. So in the same way, a genuine spiritual process doesn't manifest something, it doesn't create something, it doesn't imagine something, it doesn't produce in a way something, but it uncovers the soul, that is the pure soul, our true self, if you so wish, that is already there, hidden between all the social roles, all the narratives, all the things we constantly tell ourselves about ourselves and make believe to others that this is our true self. No, the genuine spiritual process unearths these, just like archaeological process digs deep and brings us in contact to the treasures that lie buried within the earth. That's the first manifestation of Kirtan. You become more in touch with yourself. Perhaps during some kirtans, or at the end of some kirtans, you notice your consciousness has changed. You are now able to set different priorities in your life, and you feel it, you see it. Yeah. Or perhaps you have seen that a calm and peace descends that is pregnant or filled with God consciousness. I believe most of you have either participated in the kirtans in the evening in Radhadesh, or you have just looked through the door and could feel, wow, there's a certain atmosphere there inside this kirtan, which is taking place in the evening. If I'm right, it was like 8:30, something like this, 8:30, 9-ish, it starts. You know better than me. Kirtan, in other words, is not just group singing, it is spiritual archaeology. It is an ancient spiritual process talked about by ancient shastras. Now, therefore, another work which is also very old, these scriptures are old, it says one should learn to associate with spiritual minded people by gathering with them and chanting kirtan. This process is most purifying. In this process, those who sing develop their loving friendship, bonding takes place, and they feel mutual happiness and deep satisfaction. By thus encouraging each other, you know, it's a spiritual gathering, there's encouragement going on. They're able to give up harmful material activities which are the cause of suffering. You know, after kirtan, you will be able to meet people whose heart is uncovered a little bit, and they will say, oh, I have given up this harmful habit of smoking and drinking lots of what do they drink in Belgium? Beer. And it's possible by developing a higher taste. They will encourage each other. You can also do it. It's possible. So this tells us a little bit from the Bhagavatam perspective how kirtan is meant to be a spiritual process. No? Very powerful. But how does it become so? I would like to give you an analogy. In Japan, we find Zen masters who shoot with this long bows. They're very they have a wide range, these type of bows, and they practice this shooting process for a long time, sometimes 20 years, in order to reach perfection. In the first year, the student is only allowed to pick up the arrow. In the second year, he's allowed to put it on the bow, But he cannot yet draw the bow. That's for the third year. He draws the bow. And the fourth year, he is allowed to let go of the arrow. Why this? Because the goal here is not to reach the target like it is in Western archery. The goal is to achieve something which they call Satori in local language, Japanese language, and which is called Samadhi in the yogic tradition. It's absolute absorption. It's calming the mind, centering the mind, going deep into inner calm and inner stillness, and uncovering there the treasures that lie within. So there was once an American student, this is how the story went. He came to one of these schools, ancient schools, Zen schools, and his goal was to really hit the goal, you know, to quickly shoot the arrow that it goes into the mark, the, you know, that. And please pay attention, he was a very accomplished archer, and he learned this art in half a year. He wouldn't miss the mark. So this was a sensation. All the monks in the ashrams needed to train so long. And it was anyways not the goal to hit the mark, but it was nice, you know, when it showed perfect alignment of body, mind, and everything. If you could hit the mark, you know, in an absorbed, meditative way. So the Zen master was called. And when the student took the longbow from America, this different culture, took aim and let loose of the arrow, and it hit the black. When the Zen master saw this, he became so angry. He took his slap and he slapped the student into the face and said, "Go! Never come back. I never want to see your face again." The student, I mean, I didn't expect you to react like this. You're a meditating monk. Why did you hit me? I mean, I shoot the arrow. I got that. I didn't miss the target. "You missed everything," said the Zen master. "I could tell by the sound of your string that you have not meditated. You have not understood that this is a spiritual practice. In fact, you took your cultural bias, your cultural goal to always reach goals, impress people with external things, and you slandered, you smeared it over this ancient practice. I'm trying, and my lineage tries in thousands of years to teach this, and you have made a mockery out of this ancient tradition." Kirtan and kirtan is different. Bow shooting is different. If you want it to be a spiritual practice, you require three things. at the outset of your kirtan, you should be aware of this, that now you will intertone sacred mantras which have been sacred to millions of people in the past who have used this music to connect with the divine, to worship through song, to attain yoga or close connection with the Supreme Being. That's a great thing, you know. That is the purpose of the human life, some Sanskrit scriptures say, to connect with our origin again, not be like separated branches from the tree. The branch has to be back with the whole tree. So the beginning, when you sit down to make a nice kirtan, a good kirtan, it is good to have a sankalpa. This is now something for you to note down. Sankalpa, S-A-N-K-A-L-P-A. Sankalpa. Ananta Gauranga will be able to spell it for you. In case you miss it now, it is the intention. Building an intention, becoming aware of your intention. One intention could be that you are now assisting as a kirtan leader those who sit in your kirtans. Say you do kirtan in a yoga studio, or say you have invited people to join at your in your apartment for a kirtan. You could say, I'm going to assist these people in this sacred activities. They might close their eyes, they might meditatively sing, sometimes very exuberantly and enthusiastic they may sing. So I'm doing this now, and I'm mindful of the personalities or the deities whose name I invoke. Even if you cannot yet understand all these names of the in the mantras, you can know it's they are manifestations of the divine presence in some ways. No, so I'm now really sitting down. This is a spiritual activity, and my dear everyone will feel the difference. The sound is a different sound that reaches people. Next point. In Sanskrit, it is called utsahan. I think our Ananta Gauranga knows this word. It translates as enthusiasm. It's a mood where you... The English word enthusiasm is built from a Greek word en theos, in God. Theos is the name of God. No? You are. It's an enthusiasm, or a longing. Here I am, a particle of a small jiva, small living being, and I'm now looking for a connection. You could also say some sincerity. Kirtan leader, his sincerity will, his spiritual enthusiasm, his inner mood will very, very much come out of his office. The sound will be there. The sound will come from the heart, and it will be in the sound vibration. Don't we all know this? If someone says to someone, "I love you," well, that's one type of sound. "I love you." In England, we say this very quickly. In London, I have heard it's the town where words have lost their meaning. But now listen to the other sound vibration. It will be the same sentence. "I love you." Immediately, you know, that second sound was built in the heart. And the first sound, "I love you," was built in the mouth and in the brain. It's perhaps nice to or amazing, or you know, we say these things so easy. You know, we live in modern times. Too many words, too little heart. So kirtan should be a heartfelt thing, a sincere call, a calling out that, "Oh, I have been so long separated from you, so very, very long, such a long time, a very long time I was separated from you. But today I'm calling out to you as your sincere and serious kirtan singer," no? The servant, I'm doing this as seva, kirtan, seva. "Please accept me." This is like the kirtan yoga. You want to have a connection. Kirtan yoga, you know, yoga means connection, a higher connection. This is the first, the second thing. Utsahan, you could also say lolyam, eagerness. The German word is isn't very nice. Aufrichtigkeit. I think some of you might come from Germany. I know one of you for sure, Kamala, but perhaps others. Is someone else here from that strange little country in Europe? Acha, good, good, good. Your good name, please. I'm so.
You might not be able to hear.
Yes, I cannot hear, but yeah. But yes. Aufrichtig
is Gracie. Just so that you can hear, in the back is Gracie, and on the left here is Vladimir.
Vladimir, acha, Vladimir, what a wonderful name. And Gracie, wow, this is like divine grace, you know. you have the already very good name. So the German word Aufrichtigkeit, it means something, you are not bent, you are not crooked, you are straight, so to say, in your heart, you know, in your heart. Not in your bodily posture, but in your heart, you are straight. You mean what you say. So if you call out these mantras, like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that I pay my most humble obeisances to the Lord who's present everywhere. Beautiful mantra, often found in kirtans. And so on. And the last thing which makes your kirtan soulful or gives it a heart is the attempt to be attentive throughout. I presume all of you have been in kirtans. Ananda Gauranga, you please speak for the crowd because you're close to the microphone. That is true. Huh? They have experience in kirtan outside of the learning the instruments. Is that true?
Yes,
Yes, actually, many of the students also go regularly for the evening kirtan in the temple. I've also experienced it before coming to the
class. Okay, okay, okay. So you have been sitting in it. And then most probably you have seen how your mind is not always so cooperative. Quite the opposite. Instead of listening attentively and following the kirtan, the mind thinks, oh my God, have I answered this WhatsApp message to the full satisfaction of the person who needed to get my answer? Oh no, I have not eaten enough. Oh no, oh my God, my sitting is highly uncomfortable this evening. What's wrong? Where can I get a better cushion here? And so the mind becomes active in thousands of trivial things, also triviale Dinge. And sometimes embarrassing, you know, or you look around in the kirtan, amongst the kirtan singers, and all of a sudden you do not see them as spiritualists trying to worship Krishna, but you find faults in them, or you, anything can happen. The mind gets back to its default practices, you know, and one is self-criticism, another is criticism of others, and so many things. We don't need to give examples, and all of a sudden you see, wow, if kirtan is like a train that is meant to bring me to a spiritual palace, then I have most certainly jumped out of the window now, and I'm with something totally different. I'm my body sits in the kirtan, but my mind celebrates apocalypse now. You know, chaos, mental chaos. It doesn't have to be so bad. It can just be future dreaming, you know, in the future I will do this, when this is over, I will eat, and then I will do this as the planning various things. But yeah, so attention, that's the third thing. When you catch your mind wandering, that's already very, very, very good, because now you can bring it back. Most of the time in our lives, my dear everyone, we don't even notice that the mind does something on its own, because we are so much identified with the thoughts. We think it's me who's thinking. We forget that it's just the mind going over stuff, like a clerk who sits in the office and smears blank pieces of paper with some ink, you know. So when you see your mind is doing that and is going somewhere else, then please bring it back again and again and yet again to the sound of the holy name. These three things, my dear everyone, will make your kirtan bristle or with spiritual presence, with spiritual energy, because there will be the first law of spiritual life. You will experience it. This first law in spirituality is not the law of gravitation. It's the law of, now it comes a difficult English word, I also just learned it recently, and I hope I get it right, I forgot it already, Ananda Gauranga, you are good with words, reciprocity, or what is it called?
Reciprocity.
Yeah, what it means is, there will be a reciprocation eine Erwiderung, eine Offenbarung, ein Entgegenkommen. There will be a reciprocation, a divine reciprocation. That's the law. In the Gita it is expressed, yeya tamang prapatyante. What you put into it, you will get back many folds, many, many, many folds. It will come back to you. This is a beautiful experience in Kirtan. That while you're putting your attention into it, while you start with the sankalpa, and let's start with the first point, the sincere intention, no? And while you then approach the practice with some sincerity, not for show or anything, but with some divine desire to connect, some divine enthusiasm, some longing, some, we could call it devotional feeling. That is a good term, to umbrella term, you know. And then when you give your best to be attentive as best as you can, bring the mind back, there will be a divine reciprocation. Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot the English word. I have to look it up again. I mean, Ananda Gauranga, if you know the word, it's like this, like a city in the end. Please type it to Gore.
It's reciprocity.
Acha! Once again, say it.
Reciprocity,
my God.
Reciprocation.
Yeah, reciprocation. It's the law of reciprocation, or whatever the word is. Some words, they don't go in here, or at least not into the brain. Yes, good. It's not about, that's not the most important thing. This is the heart of Kirtan. Bring the, give your kirtan some heart, everyone. Don't let it be a mechanical process which can be copied perhaps by an artificial intelligence kirtan machine. I think they will come up with these things soon, you know. It should have the soul of kirtan. It should have the spiritual essence. And as I said, the audience will feel it. They will become electrified with these things. I have spoken with various kirtan artists, also people who are not devotees. I have this friendship with Krishna Das, and he is a disciple of a exalted spiritual master, a saint, Neem Karoli Baba, and he says, yes, I know, you have access to that divine realm because you're learning this in your lineage, but what I have is my saintly spiritual teacher, and I focus on him, and then if I'm successful, I feel something is going through me of his Shakti. No? So every good kirtan artist doesn't have to be a Krishna devotee. They know that higher connection makes the kirtan really kirtan. Do you know the meaning of kirtan? It is a household word now almost. It comes from the syllable kirt, and kirt means to glorify, to make known, to praise. It's all these things which are connected with singing hymns, you know, homages and so on. So that is gives the soul of kirtan. Wonderful. I will end here. I have heard that you are a very thoughtful group, and you have perhaps many questions. In this first session, I wanted to stress how important it is to to not have mechanic kirtan, but to have a kirtan that has a heart. And I was giving you three practices which are done by kirtaniyas before they start, or kirtan singers before they start the kirtan. And often they go back to these, for instance, attention and so on. I could tell you many, many things about my own failings to do so. I am often called to sing in sometimes very large assemblies, and I have been in situations where I was singing and really nothing came, nothing worked. The spark just wouldn't fly over, the audience was just dull. I was thinking, is this because it's midday time and they are all digesting and all the blood is in the stomach? But then I noticed it's not midday time. This is 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It is, they have all digested. It must be your fault. So then I could understand, oh yes, my God, I had a thousand of other things in my mind. When I came, I was thinking about projects. There was a difficult discussion which I had just moments before, and the echo of the discussion was still going on, and I was sitting down totally distracted, if you so want, and it was hollow, it was empty. Then I went through these known processes. I caught myself, centered myself. Okay, that was after already 20 minutes. My slot was 1.5 hours. I had to sing for 1.5 hours. After 20 minutes, I thought, oh my God, this is not going anywhere. Let me sit down. And I was already sitting, but let me collect myself, center myself. And then I did these three steps. And I now don't really know what happened, because I closed my eyes but they're right. At the end, I opened my eyes and everyone was either jumping, or people were crying. They had been touched with something. Kirtan leaders know it's not because of them that this happens. It's often despite of them. it's just the law of this difficult word. I would say the simple word, reciprocation has happened. There's a divine reciprocation. And that was not created by the kirtan leader. That came from somewhere else. Yeah, so let us now see. Please, when you ask your question, please, perhaps it's good if you come. I don't know, Ananda Gauranga, how will we do this? Should they maybe come here, where you are, or please, you take over. You tell us how we do this.
So what I'll do is I'll repeat the question close to the computer so that you can hear clearly. I think that's the good, most efficient way to do it.
Good, good.
Yeah. The question I have is, how can you have a conflict?
A shyness? Okay. Maharaj, here with the scarf is Komal. She's from the UK. And she's asking the question, what advice or tips do you have for overcoming fear and shyness, but mainly fear of leading kirtan, like singing and playing instruments, doing something that you're not so comfortable with?
Thank you for this wonderful question, which is very relevant to what we do. Kamal, just as a question, I think we have seen each other on my visits to London. Is that true? You don't remember? No, then maybe I'm...
Yes, she says yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, most of us are not practiced to present something before many, either speaking or doing kirtan. And because we do something which is out of our normal field of activities, we often come out of our comfort zone. We are no longer sure. We are sure in what we usually do. We are not, we have no doubt about it. We can do it. But when we leave that known field of our competence and all of a sudden step forward to do kirtan before many, yes, there can be a nervousness, a fear, butterflies in the stomach, profuse sweating in the palms of the hand, and other such symptoms of fear and nervousness. That is there. To overcome it is only possible when you take yourself out of the center. It's not about you, Kamal, or anyone. You are now serving the Supreme. You're turning to the Supreme. You are alone with God in a crowd of others. Why are you alone? Because your focus is on Him only, not on satisfying the audience and thinking, how can I sing so beautifully for the audience? And perhaps you already know you can never satisfy everyone's taste, because someone likes oranges, another likes mangoes. We have different tastes. So by making this first step, sankalpa, where you center yourself, and you say, well, this is now going to be something where I try to call out. You all of a sudden, please excuse me. You are all of a sudden in that magical place where you're together with the Lord. You really understand. Also, another thing is, you can see people are not really there for me. They want to make a spiritual experience. They want to connect with their own spirituality and so on. I remember once, Kamal, I had to learn this the hard way. I was part of a group who did massive kirtans. We had per evening a minimum of 10 to 15,000 people in the audience. And this one time, which I will be talking about, it was an audience in Russia with 35,000 people in the audience, with an ocean of people. And I was supposed to announce the program. So I remember I looked from behind the curtain into this ocean of people and thought, whoa, phew. I don't even know to speak very good English. I mean, we had a Russian translator. English is not my mother tongue, and I'm not a... Who am I to address all these people? I had heard there were all kinds of celebrities from the Russian art scene in the crowd, and who I am not a famous person like that, and I was conflicted. I thought, well, maybe I should send someone else out to make the announcements and then sing in the kirtan. But I thought, this is now your test. This is a thing where you can grow. Are you doing this for yourself and so that people like you and are impressed by you, or do you have some more spiritual project than just feeding your own small little hungry ego? I remember I talk very, very intense to myself because I'm a little strong-minded person. Do you want to feed your own small little ego here, or do you want to do it as a seva? You know, a servant is not so much concerned about the result. It's up to the master he serves to make or unmake him. So, but another thing which I also did, because I was overwhelmed with stage fright. Is this an English word you all know, stage fright? Yes. Oh, you got it. It's not just known to performers. You know, it was, here comes a difficult English word, a visceral sense. You know, I felt it. Ah, the stomach was curling up and, oh no. Oof, what have I gotten into by being on this tour? And it was a real visceral feeling. You know, that means I could feel it physically, the discomfort. Then I did a little exercise. Sometimes these little deeply spiritual things may not work always when we are so overwhelmed by fear. I said, listen now, my name is Satchidananda Swami. I talk like this to me. Listen, Satchidananda Swami. Sometimes I only call me by my first name, because we are close to each other, you know, so I can call like this and listen. The people they came here to have a nice evening. They don't want to see you fail by forgetting what you are meant to share with the audience in order to inaugurate the evening or to start the evening. And I pictured myself in the way the people want to see me, want to see an announcer. A joyful, confident person who just does his task to say the program will be this, 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 then we will do that, this will be you will find the bathrooms. Here in this hall we have 30 bathrooms, you will find them distributed in the cellar, in the, you know, there is where everything, where the hygienic things are for you. You know, all these things which a master of ceremony has to say to give the framing for the evening. And then I just did it. I remember I saw myself in the way I should do this. I envisioned it. I knew my lines. For to be sure, I had them written down at bullet points. I went out and say, hello, good evening, everyone. That's nice to see that so many of you could come, and already everyone's met, like, what a jolly announcer, and so on. And then did it. And when I came back behind the curtain, you know, then the curtain has to open and everyone is already on their seats, and then we start the kirtan. When I came back, I said, what just happened to you? Moments before you were a nervous wreck, And now you were just going as if you meet your friends out there, you know, and I understood two things had happened. I had not given in to these weak thoughts which imprisoned my mind into the prison of fear. Fear is something bad, you know. It throws you into the prison, it locks the door and throws the key away that you can't get out of it so easily. So I thought myself, I will not be overcome by fear. I will just been visualizing myself as doing it, and because I'm sometimes forgetful, I wrote down a few bullet points to not forget it, and I looked them up. And yes, and then it worked. But ultimately, take yourself out of the center and put Krishna in the center. You are a servant in doing this. Thank you so much, Kamal. What a wonderful and very relevant question. I think all of us have the same stage fright at times, and or if we don't yet had it, you will have it after the kirtan course when you go back and lead kirtan in your hometowns with your people. And please don't cringe, don't escape this. The kirtan leader is made only by one thing, by leading kirtan. Certain things you have to do. You can't theorize about it. You can't take a course about it. You have to do it, and then you learn it. Hari Bol. Thank you, Kamal. Thank you. Yes.
We have another question.
Yes, please.
This question is from Kamala, who you know.
Yes.
She's asking, what are some things, practical things that you do before the kirtan and also after the kirtan to be able to have your sankalpa nicely?
Some practical things. Well, when I'm on
a mantra beforehand.
There are mantras. Yes, I do three things actually. When I'm on the way to the kirtan, I tell myself, I want to do this kirtan as a service, seva. Then when I sit down, then it's usually the kirtan before, or the kirtans before are going on, and I'm participating. And I'm making sure that I'm focused in the kirtan which others sing, so that my mind gets purified and I come to a purer state of consciousness. And then when I start the kirtan, Kamala, I chant pranam mantras. I first offer my obeisances to my spiritual master. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini. I do it loud, and I request everyone to join me for this. And then I chant another mantra. It is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. I'm sure Ananta Gauranga can point this mantra out to you, or you can make a snapshot with a video camera in your mobile telephone from the page. It is a mantra where you pray that obstacles in the chanting, like for instance nervousness or fear, can be removed. Yeah? That is the mantra which removes obstacles. And when I sing, now comes the secret. I have an Ayurvedic pill. It's very small, Kantilal, and I throw it in, and then the voice remains good. Or I drink hot water, so that the voice doesn't collapse. Sometimes the kirtans can be quite enthusiastic or loud, and then one sings full strength, and then one might require such a little Ayurvedic pill. They are available everywhere by now. Kantilal or so on. Fisherman's Friend is taken by others, but I heard it in the long run it destroys the what is it called? Vocal cords. It is a remedy. There's a short remedy. Sometimes you may need it when you're stuffed, when there's too much mucus in the nose or so on, and then it's good. But for long term, if you want to sing kirtan for 50, 60, 70 years in your life, you might find the others more better. Mm-hmm. But yes, these mantras and these mindsets, they are important.
Hey, we have another question, Maharaj. Thank you, nice. Marge, this question is from Tanya,
mm-hmm.
who I think you also know.
Yes, I know.
Tanya's asking if the sankalpa and the utsaha and the attempt to be attentive are all there, is reciprocity guaranteed? And if it does, or is there sometimes that there isn't reciprocation? And in those situations, why is that? And how to understand that? Good question.
What a wonderful group. See, there is ultimately no technique, even no devotional or spiritual technique that can force the divinity to appear, that forces Krishna or whosoever name you're chanting in your particular kirtan to appear. Because that would mean we are stronger than God because we have a technique to catch him. But that is never the case. In the Bhagavatam, your question is dealt with. There the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan ask Krishna, why is it that although we wanted to serve you and we called for you, you chose to be absent? Why? What did we do wrong? Or is something wrong with you, maybe? You know, they asked this question. And Krishna answered, oh beautiful gopis who do not understand my real intentions, I am telling you now why I do not respond immediately to my devotees. If my devotee is not yet pure, that's most of us, I am not responding to increase their hankering and longing for me. The devotee will think, alas, 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 everything I have done so far has remained without fruit. this must be because I am full with...
Good point, mate. Without any Oracle Music library, you can ask me to play a radio station or ask for your music in a different app.
Maharaj?
Yes?
We need you to repeat just the last few sentences. It triggered something on the computer that cut out your voice for a few seconds.
Yes. So the devotee, the kirtan singer, has done everything he knows. He is in good consciousness. He has even dressed in clean cloth to make sure that he is as prepared as possible. Perhaps he has even sung Sagamasi Sa La 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 to just oil the voice. He has done all the things, physical preparation as well as spiritual preparations. But in his kirtan, he still finds there is no reciprocation, there's no juice, there is no devotional feeling. It's just mechanical thing singing. So at that time the devotee will think, oh my God, the only reason which I can see why there is no reciprocation whatsoever is because my heart is really full with very bad qualities. They're called in Sanskrit aparadas and anarthas. Therefore, the Lord has not yet shown himself. Now, when he thinks like this, something very beautiful happens. He becomes genuinely humble. He becomes distanced from his false ego. And therefore, he is very ready now to take a second try. Now, this is for the one who's not yet so advanced, the kirtan singer. But sometimes this divine reciprocation may not happen even in the case of a very advanced soul. And the reason why Krishna withholds himself at times even from them is because he wants to increase their love. The example has been given. Imagine you are the owner of a very costly, priceless sapphire. It's a jewel. You had owned it. It was given to you by your grandmother, and it's a really rare piece. And then somehow you lose it again, and you don't have it. At that time, you think, I got to find this sapphire. It was given to me by my late grandmother. I should value her presence. And it's a priceless thing, you know. It's really something which was meaningful to her, and because then your longing for it will increase. You will think of it day and night. You will maybe visit likely places where you have forgotten it or lost it. Not only one time, not only two times. You might go five times even. Are we not like this when we lose something that is precious? We will again and again look. So Krishna, therefore, when he is lost, so to say, to the advanced soul who had once had him, if you so want, then at that time, the advanced soul will become more hankering, will long for it even more, and long for Krishna's presence even more. And that is very good. This longing will take away all the rest things he might still need to work for. So yeah, so don't think there is a mechanic rule for any type of reciprocation, Tanya. I know that many books have been written about childbirth, but all ladies who have gone through it said, as I read two or three books or looked at some podcasts, but it's something totally different when it happens. Many books have been written about love, but it's always different when it happens to someone. And it doesn't, you know, spiritual life, like love, does not follow the rule book. It is transrational. This is a new English word, maybe. I don't know if it's existing in the dictionary already. Transrational. It supersedes the ratio. Beautiful question. So we have time for one more question, or to round it up, as you wish. Let me ask you a question.
I'm just saying if there's any more.
What?
Ah, okay.
How do?
Yeah, please, Maj.
Yes. How do you find the Kirtan course so far? What? Please don't just say nice or bad. But what is your experience?
Someone says challenging.
Challenging, yeah.
Beautiful experiences is that I've been into it for a long time, and that you have different experiences that are maybe different from the one from your time and go home. Also with the group.
Yeah. In the back is Kathleen. Mm-hmm. She's from Belgium, actually, very close to here. Kathleen is saying that for her, she finds that it's to do it for a longer period of time means that you get a more variety of experiences rather than just going for one kirtan and going home and it's over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Vladimir.
Another one?
Yeah.
Vladimir is saying that he was already chanting, he was actually leading kirtans before he participated in the course, but he was looking for that depth, that profundity that he wasn't experiencing, and he says that he's experiencing it now, and especially from hearing your talk about highlighting kirtan and kirtan, kirtan and then there's kirtan, that mm-hmm. the real kirtan is that there's that profound element there. That he said that he was searching for.
Thank you. When you speak, I can't hear you. But the moment Ananta Gauranga translate or repeats your question, then only I can hear you. So it might look strange because I don't know what you are saying until you become silent. Then I hear what you are saying. Mm-hmm.
Gracie also has something. Gracie is saying something really nice. She says that she really likes connecting with the instruments. and also connecting with the instrument of the voice. And she says also to be living in a community where, you said it really nicely, I want to say it the way you said it. Yeah. Yes. A community that lives for kirtan.
Oh.
Here in Radha Deshino, because it's every evening. Yeah.
Good, 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 good. I'm really watching the time. I want to say something at the end, but I do need a pen. So just allow me. Let me say, oh my God, I have a cable here. I just need to reach to the pen. Oops. I wanted to say something which is really on my mind. It's really important for me to say it, and I think it will give you a good understanding. As you are in this community in Radha Desh,
Oregon is a state in the Pacific Northwest region of the United States. Oregon is a part of the western United States, with the Columbia River delineating much of Oregon's northern...
Okay, please continue. Sorry about that.
Yes, that's a particularly enthusiastic artificial intelligence program. As you are in this... community in Radha Desh, you're really entering an entirely new experience. There are new people, new food even. I mean, I assume many, if not most of you are vegetarians, but the spicing, the way it is cooked, you're finding yourself surrounded with people who have a different dress than you are accustomed to. Dhotis and saris. But more than anything, you find yourself in an atmosphere that is very different than what you find in the big towns, in your own home, and so on. So all this together will at times create a feeling of discomfort. It can happen to every one of you. See, if this is your regular field of activities and your regular thought, then you are somewhere out here, outside. Everyone of us who are in a new field will feel the need to orient ourselves, and there are different impressions coming to us. We need to digest, accommodate them. And this process is not always easy. Sometimes it happens seamlessly, you know, seamlessly, without any difficulty, just very easily it happens. But even for me, you know, I'm traveling the world since 50 years. I'm visiting different communities all over the world. I'm also in many conferences where there are there's not a devotional audience, but just people who feel interest in consciousness. I'm now participating in a conference, I mean, upcoming conference called Consciousness Beyond the Brain, you know, and things really, even for me, it is sometimes not so easy to deal with the many new impressions. Although I'm used to this as a traveling monk, you know, I'm used to it. So what I always recommend, and what I have learned myself, is when the impressions are just so much, you need some time to digest them. So then either have a good talk with someone or make a walk. There are beautiful pathways. There's this wonderful Gita round way. They can show you where it is. Or you can just stay in your room and just sleep. A lot of digestion goes on in sleep, and then it is easy for you to deal with the new impressions and to digest them, and then you will have a much, let us say, much more, then it will be a nicer experience. Even though you may say, "Oh, Maharaj, don't worry, all the experience are, which are coming, I'm used, I knew what I was getting in Radhadesh. I have visited the project before," and so on. Even then, there will be times when, due to the intense, due to the different atmosphere than it is at home, you will feel challenged a little bit. And if this happens, greet these moments, because that's the moment when you can grow. My dear everyone, let's visit our simple circle here. Where do I grow? If I stay always inside, well, then I will get more of the same things. I grow when I go outside. It's in these areas where I grow. And so this is what I wanted to say, to encourage all of you, because it would be very, very surprising if none of you would have these moments where you feel, "Oh my God, I was a little bold to register for this." How long is this? 2 weeks, or how long is this course?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Wow, it has increased. My God, you are the ashram adventurous. but that's congratulations for this decision. You will, I can promise you, that feeling of challenge will come here or there, but go through it. You have a wonderful course. I do know, in the past I would participate in person on the ground when I had time. This year it is not possible. I know it's well structured, and I know the program is not too dense. If you just want to take the program, I think it starts at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock even, and then, you know, you can just take part in the music classes if you want, and the others are optional. Good. Fine. Am I right that tomorrow we will have another section, session, Ananta Gauranga? Is that true?
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
And I believe it's the same time.
Yeah. Same time, same time, same place. Good. I thank you very much for listening to me for so long. Sorry, I know one is getting tired of seeing virtual people or people who are not with us. It reminds us of a time when the world was a little chaotic. So, sorry, but thank you for being there. Thank you for being so participatory. And tomorrow we will continue to have something on Kirtan. I have actually made notes. I know it's very wonderful. I actually, believe it or not, this will be very prepared tomorrow. But at the moment, I have to find my notes. They are. I have three places where I must search. It can only be in one of the three places. So I will be with you tomorrow. All the best. May you have a wonderful day and a nice meal. Also, soon is lunch. I also will take my lunch very soon. I have a guest, an inventor who has invented many things. And all the best.